Good morning, church. What a delight it has been to be able to journey with you through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous sermon, that even those who are not within the church, they are familiar with some words. We had gone through this journey since early August, and we saw at the epitome of the whole sermon is that you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, and Jesus is not the breaker of the law, but he's the fulfillment of the law and the beginning of the new covenant. From there, we've been looking at different perspectives as to how the law should actually be applied in light of the gospel. And with thanks to Dr. Hugh and Pastor Wallace, we've also been looking at how religion should be when it comes to praying, fasting, when it comes to putting your offering, how that actually should change the way we experience God in our worship and in our obedience to Him as His children in light of the gospel. Now we're seeking out for a heavenly perspective. And we're going to be looking at a big passage today because we're going to be looking at an application, not within the church and not in private life, but in public life based on your personal faith. I love the way a preacher used to call when talking about faith and religion. He says, our faith is personal, but it is not private. Let me say this again. Our faith, it is personal, but it is not private. Because part of our faith is that when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we are to also love our neighbor as ourselves. The first one is personal, is direct with the Lord God. The latter, loving our neighbor as ourselves, cuts away the whole idea that we should keep our religion private. It's actually to be shared to our neighbors and beyond. Now we're going to take this gospel and go into a secular environment or an environment outside of the safety net of religion. And from there, Jesus actually gives us a ton of application. It's very much to do as to how you view things, your perspective, and it's also more to do of how you view what you see. So let's take a look at the Word of God today. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. It's a large passage, but I hope to be able to journey this with you and have very direct applications. Why? Because Jesus actually gave us a whole lot of direct applications. He made it abundantly clear as to how should this passage be applied. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. Let me read it to you. And then I will pray, and then we will dig into His Word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 34. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray. Almighty God, we give you praise that we can have our confidence in you. You, O God, who are the new covenant in Jesus, where we are now a new creation, where we are now the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the presentation of your Son in our everyday lives, not just in church, O God, but also in the world we are today. Father, I ask, O God, that as we heed of your word, we ask, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit will speak to each and every one of us, jolt an area in our lives where we need to work on. And we ask, O God, that these words, O God, will not be my words. It will be but your wisdom alone. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. This we say in Jesus' name. Amen. So we were talking about religion earlier. Dr. Hugh and Pastor Wallace was talking about prayer, talking about fasting. And before that, they were also talking about giving to the needy, which is actually part of our religion or part of our practice in light of obedience to God, because it is part of what? It is part of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now we're going to look into day-to-day lives. We're going to be looking into how we should view things as compared to the pagans. Very clearly, Jesus wants us to sit on one side with him and make sure that we are not religious to a point where we are legalist, nor are we any similar or look or do we fade in the background in this secular and pagan environment. So the first thing he says, he wants us to check our view. If we're looking at a heavenly perspective, we must first check our sight. Just before having this message recorded, we were talking about, you know, how sharp the image at the back should be, you know, and one would say, oh yeah, it looks sharp, oh, another one looks blur, looks sharp, looks blur, you know, and finally we got to a conclusion, say, yes, this image is great, I hope you guys like it as you view it at home, but of course I joked the idea of what would happen if it is sharp to one person but blur to another. It's not much to do with the image, but more to do with our eyes. You know, all of us nowadays, we are having some sort of prescription, some sort of astig limitations. So it's always good to check our sight first before we seek out what is God wanting us to see. So how do we test our sight? Well, verses 19 to 24 actually helps us it helps us to check our heavenly perspective, and then we can live that life in him. The first one is that we need to see where we're looking. We need to see where we are looking. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So that means in light of the gospel, our sight should not be in perspective of what is directly in front of us or what is below us, or what is around us, because as we look around, we can feel a little paranoid. Sense of paranoia and fear will creep in if we just look around us and we think that only we ourselves can fend for ourselves. Rather, Jesus is saying you should look up to heaven, look up to him, and see the wonders of what he has in store. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, the thieves breaking in and stealing makes sense, okay? Thieves breaking in and stealing is familiar to us. That's why, even though we live in lovely bungalows with nice big glass to be able to see outside, to get a nice view from outside of your living room, it's also covered in bars. It also has CCTV, you know? So why? Because we worry about thieves coming and steal our possessions. But what does it mean by moths and vermin destroy? Well, you see, in those days, it wasn't just gold and silver, but it was also salt, and it was also clothing. In those days, a display of wealth is actually the amount of salt that you have and also the amount of clothing that you have. Because why? Clothing is a relatively new, not new technology, but it is still something that requires a lot of labor, a lot of converting and specializing of changing something that is raw material, cotton and silk and all these organic material, into material that we can wear. And it's supposed to look nice. Some of them, they put gold threading. Some of them, they will put silk. They'll use silk and they'll use high-quality Egyptian cotton. All those things have one thing in common, and that is, after a while, especially in those days where there was no chemical preservative in our coloring, it will rot, it will decay, it will get eaten by moths, it will also get stolen and eaten by vermin. What Jesus is telling us is that we should not be, if we truly believe that we are the salt of the earth and light of the world, and if we grasp the gospel, we should be asking ourselves as to whether are we worried about the things of the earth today, and we've been storing things that only will last for a short while, when we should be looking for things that will last for eternity, for things that will last for forever, because it is something that God has given us. Now, how do we know this? How do we know which side of it are we looking at? How do we know whether we are looking at earthly treasures or are we looking at heavenly treasures? Jesus makes it very clear. He says in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So this kind of sight is not our real sight or sight using our eyes, but rather the gauging of our heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus is actually giving us a promise. You know, don't worry, do not store treasures here. Because why? No matter how much you store up and keep, it will rot, it will decay, someone else will take it and steal it. In fact, the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about this whole vanity. That, you know, it is important in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that we should know our Creator in the days of our youth, before the silver cord breaks, before the golden bowl cracks, before the walnut trees bloom. What do I mean by walnut trees? Because walnuts, actually, they grow white flowers, so it's talking about our hair, before we get old, and all these things, we will fall back to the dust. What matters more is not our earthly possessions, which in the end of the day, we cannot bring with us to the death, but it is actually our heart ought to be secured in the person that is Jesus, who has overcome death, overcome decay, and is now alive and eternally alive, and he calls us to do the same. Where is your heart? And is your heart in something that will only be for a moment, or is it in something for eternity? Now, some of you may say, "Pastor Mark, you know, economy's been bad, so of course we need to look out for ourselves so that at least we'll be able to survive through this pandemic/endemic, and we need to be able to overcome this and be able to live and move on. There's no telling how much time we have on this earth. We need to prepare." And I agree. I completely agree. But have your worry and your anxiety caused you to look away from God and look more towards fending for yourself in this terrible times? Moreover, let's say you have been wise and you have enough funding and you know how to care for yourself in this time. Let me ask you this: if you are able to live comfortably while the rest of the world is falling to pieces, how can you sit at home in peace? And if you say, "Pastor, Ken, no problem, because I'm surviving," then you know where your heart is also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where are you looking? Where are you looking? Secondly, what are you looking? What are you looking? The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Okay, so very simple, right? If you see and it's bright, you're okay. If you see and it's dark, you're not okay. Right? So that seems to be a 2 plus 2 equals 4, very easy to understand. Thank you, Jesus, right? But verse 23 is, the other part of verse 23 is very interesting. He says that if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Whoa. So therefore, Jesus is not referring to darkness as a statement, but he is referring to darkness as an object. What is it that is dark in our lives? Very simple. If we have darkness, there's no way the light will be able to stay along. Because why? If you have light, there should be no darkness. It's a play of words. There's another play of words here when we talk about healthy and unhealthy. If your eyes are healthy, or if your eyes are unhealthy, the Greek play of the words here actually can be translated healthy to mean generous and unhealthy to mean stingy. So, looking at the text, let's read that again in that sort of translation where it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are generous, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are stingy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What Jesus is basically saying is, if you see the hope of God, and that's the light of the world that we see in Jesus, which he calls us to be, if you see that light, you wouldn't be so stingy. You wouldn't be so worried. You wouldn't be thinking that, oh, I need to fend for myself. You will actually be generous. You will actually be concerned for the sake of others. So may I ask, my dear friend, in light of this heavenly perspective and in view of the epidemic that is going on today, what are you seeing? Are you seeing things where you are just looking to find a good deal and to keep it all to yourselves? Are we still having that toilet paper hoarding mentality or bread hoarding mentality? Or are we generous? I give thanks to God that in the past weeks, PBC has been giving out food aid to the poor in Old Town, in BU, and beyond. As far as the congregation is, we have been giving to the needs of the poor. Because why? We don't just want to keep and hoard things for ourselves in the darkness. We want to be the light of the world. Now, some of you may ask me, Mark, you know, isn't this bragging? You know, we shouldn't brag, you know. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, I will beg you to actually listen to Dr. Hugh's sermon again and come to a conclusion of your own. But it is from my perspective that this is accountability. To show accountability, not to brag, to say, yeah, you know, we are well off, we are okay, we're well-to-do, and therefore we should care for others. No, there are plenty of people who are well off and well-to-do, but they do nothing. Either or they do enough just to give a token amount. But by the grace of God, I have seen brothers and sisters going above and beyond, not to brag of their abundance, but rather they are responding to the generous heart that God is giving them. Because that's where their heart is. Does that sound familiar? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If there is darkness in your sight, how great is that darkness? But if our sight is light, then we know our heart is with Him and our generosity should then flow for the help and care for others. Why? Because He has helped us too. Finally, from where we see, what we see, who are we seeing? Who do we see in this heavenly perspective? Who are we fixing our eyes on? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. It's either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. Which is true, you know. I have great admiration for people who can take two jobs to make ends meet, because it is really a balanced play. And you have to have good time management. You have to have good accountability, making sure that both bosses are aware of their commitments and making sure that you do not shortchange one or the other. You cannot have your cake and eat it as well. So Jesus does know about bifurcationalism. He was a carpenter and a teacher. You know, Peter and Paul, the apostles, you know, bifurcationalism is not wrong. You know, there are the apostle Peter and Paul, they were fishermen, tent makers, while they were elders and missionaries. There is a call and need for such a witness as those, especially today. So Jesus is actually telling us very blatantly, you know, just like you want to check your sight, you know, let's look at the screen, you know, the letters E, A, B, you know, which level can you see, can you not see? So Jesus is giving us two objects to see which one do we see clearer. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. Now, Jesus is not demonizing money. If he does, then it is in contrast to other parts of Scripture where he says that, you know, that we need to be prudent, we need to be giving, we use money to help and care for others, so therefore it cannot be bad, it's actually neutral. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So remember, we're not testing whether God is good and money is evil, but rather, are we looking at the goodness of God or are we too busy being possessed by the sight of money, which is part of our insecurity? Where have you been seeing? What have you been seeing? Who do you see? Do you see your anxiety creeping you in and becomes darker and darker till you cringe and say, you know what, no one's helping me, I'm going to help myself? Or are you looking up and around and witnessing the heavens that declare the glory of God, the sky displays his handiwork? Are you looking at his creation and how he is able to care and have it all made for us that we may have dominion over this earth? Are we looking at, are we worrying about the things that is not in our control, or are we giving our control to God? Let him be the master of our lives so that we need not worry. In corporate world, we see this all the time, right? What a relief it is when you're given a responsibility and you realize that, you know what, I cannot do this. You go to your boss and say, I'm so sorry, boss. You know, as much as I try, can you imagine being honest to your boss and say, I'm so sorry, boss, but I can't do this. Can you help me on this? Or can you assign something else, someone else to help with me as well? And to which the boss says, no problem, I will look into this. That relief that you have to say, you know, that you're like, wow, okay, a big load off my shoulder. I'm not in control. He is. He calls the shots. I will be a witness to God's goodness. So first, check your sight. Where are you seeing? How or what are you seeing? Are you seeing the light of Christ, or are you seeing the darkness that the devil is creeping up at the back of you to tempt you to look away from God? Are you serving the master on this earth or the master who is God? And the telltale or the physical view of to tell us whether we are serving God or money, we should check and see how many times we look at our money, or do we worry about our money? Now that we got our sights checked, let's test it. And so Jesus then gives us this one-shot analogy or one-shot proverbial dialogue, which is also in view of what we were talking about earlier in verses 19 to 24, and he's showing us this is how then it should apply. If you are seeing heaven and not the earth, if you are seeing the light of the world and not the darkness of another darkness of sin, if you are serving the Lord God and you are not worried about money or you're not letting money to be the master of your hearts, this is how then your life should look like. Your life should be then without worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I think this is the most difficult for Malaysians. Why do I say it's the most difficult about Malaysians? Because it's about food. The worst question for any Malaysian is, hey, what to eat? Where to eat? You know, how to eat it? You know, if we chopsticks, fork and spoon, or eat with our hands, you know, do we drink a hot drink or a cold drink? Where do you want to eat? You want to eat at a Chinese restaurant? You want to eat at a mamak store? You want to eat? You want to tapau? You know? Do you want to tapau nasi lemak or do you want to go? You know? I know it's nearly lunchtime when you are hearing this message, you know? And so more so, there's a good time for you to test as to whether your heart is set on the word of the Lord or is it set on the words on the menu that you're going to check on Grab or Foodpanda later. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow. Do not worry about what you eat or what you wear. I think what you wear has been a lot easier for us nowadays because with working from home and with Zoom meetings and with minimal interaction when we are requiring to go to office, we're not too worried about how we look anymore. You know, the sales of executive clothes have reduced dramatically. Everyone's now looking at comfort. You know, our Yang Bohomad, Khairi Jamaluddin himself also ditched away the suit and tie and went to check out Kajang Hospital in a hoodie and jeans. Even he, you know, is embracing this idea that, you know, we don't need to worry about our looks anymore because our interaction or who we are trying to impress doesn't matter. Or the people that we're trying to impress don't care about what we wear, but they care about the character of our lives. Same thing when it comes to food. If you worry about food, you know, you would be obsessed. You would be obsessed. You know, you would be worried as to where, you'll be more worried as to whether did you leave home and go to office, but you left your lunch at home, or did you leave your handphone? Actually, you'd be worried about both, because if you left your food and you left your phone, you have to go back because you can't order food without your phone unless you ask a friend. You know, you see how possessive or how possessed it may look like in the way that you worry about the one most Malaysian thing, food. Be careful, my dear friends. In viewing of that, your heart will then show where it really is. Your eyes will tell you as to whether you're seeing the light of God or you're seeing the darkness in your stomach. Or are you seeing, and also whether you are serving God over who is sovereign over your whole body, or are you serving the hunger in your stomach? Same thing about clothes. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yeah, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Jesus was giving a perspective. He says this, you know, people are worried about how we look and what we wear, you know? But if you look at the grass of the field and look at the flowers that are blooming, they're not worried, but God clothes them even greater than King Solomon, the wealthiest king in the history of Israel. Where even the Queen of Sheba, when she looked at Solomon, she was like, whoa, what tremendous wealth and power. And yet Jesus is reminding us that because the flowers and the grass depends on God, they are dressed greater. What are you worried about? Jesus then continued to say this. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Okay, let's focus on verse 32 so that we can make sure our view between ourselves and the pagans of those ourselves and those who do not seek after the Lord Jesus, how different it is. Actually, if you take a look at religion, it's a very big telltale. Every other religion, I don't need to name them, every other religion that's not Christianity, okay, every other religion, their worship is for them to get something. Their worship is for them to earn something. I put fruit on the altar, I hope to get a bonus this year. I offer incense to one sacred space, I hope to be able to have longevity. You know, I prostrate myself before God so that I may be forgiven of the wrong that I've done, so I can still be looked upon as a good person, even though I have not changed my attitude at all. Christianity, on the other hand, in light of Jesus Christ, reminds us this, that when we worship, it's nothing to do with what we can do to make our lives better, but it is everything to do about Jesus giving us this new life. And when we worship, it's in reflection of His goodness that's already given to us. The angle and perspective is very different. And if the angle and perspective of how we worship God is different, then more so the angle and perspective of how we live our life in light of the gospel will be abundantly different. In that, we will not be like the pagans who are worrying and bowing and prostrating and trying their luck and investing on the words of man. We will be invested in the word of God. We will be invested in His goodness and abundance and provision. We will be clothed in His righteousness. We will be fed to our fill by His salvation. Jesus is actually reflecting this in light of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack of anything. He makes me lie down beside green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I shall walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because You, O God, are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. I am prepared a banquet before You, O God, in the sight of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. If we are worried about the clothes we wear, the food we eat, we then know who is truly our shepherd, and it will not be Jesus. But if we do not worry, in verse 33 and 34, if we seek His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well. Then we do not need to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus is actually reminding us as well, each day has enough trouble of its own, and each day we will then be able to witness God's provision. Why? Because rather than seeking a solution immediately out of the worry and anxiety of our hearts, because if we do that all the time, we'll get a heart attack. But if we seek God's kingdom, His promise is all these things, food, provision, clothing. It may not be in the levels and expectations that you want, but it will be exactly enough for God to supply for you. It will be enough for you to say, wow, truly this is God's provision. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. What are we worrying nowadays, guys? A good telltale sign is very simple. What's the first thing we look at when we open our smartphone when we wake up in the morning? When we wake up in the morning and when we open our smartphone, what's the first thing we see? Well, we check our WhatsApp messages, okay, sure. You know, when we check our emails, you know, for work and so on and so forth. You know, do you go about your day making sure they are able to be able to witness God's provision and be able to live in the generosity of His gospel? Or is one of the things that you look at all the time could be the hotspots as to how many people are infected? Or are you looking at the stock exchange and you are speculating as to what might happen tomorrow or the day after? Or are you looking at your funding and wondering, I wonder if I have enough to go on about the next day? Each day, Jesus actually says, don't worry about those things. If you seek God, God will care for you. And as you conquer each troubles of the day, that is a victory that Christ will give you. And if you cannot overcome it yourselves, my dear friends, here's my message to you. Seek out for help. Give the church office a call. WhatsApp any of the pastors. We're more than happy to reach out to you and help you in any way that we can. Why? Because God has helped us and has provided so faithfully that because of his provision today, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. Homework. Because it's a lot of application, right? And you're wondering, how can I remember all of this? Here's some homework for you. All right? I want you to take your family, take your friends, host a movie watching session, and everyone watch The Prince of Egypt. Watch The Prince of Egypt, and especially pay attention to the song that is sung by Jethro called Look at Your Life Through Heaven's Eyes. Take a look as to how this Prince of Egypt was once a worldly Prince of Egypt in the secular respect of it being of high status, having being clothed in gold and rich material, to be thrown and cast into the desert and have literally nothing. And yet Jethro picked him up from the desert and sang this song that gives us a perspective through heaven's eyes. Things like a lake of gold in the desert stand, it's less than a cool, fresh spring. If a man has lost everything he owns, is he truly lost his worth, or is this a new beginning of a new and brighter birth? Watch the movie together with your family. It's available on Netflix. Watch it together and teach ourselves, teach our children that we need not worry, for God is our provider. In closing, let me share with you this. If we were able to look at the victory of our Lord Jesus, we will be able to take this word literally and seriously. And if we do that, I should expect to see more brothers and sisters willing to reach out to our loved ones, our neighbors, and those even that we do not know, and be able to give them a help for the day and good news for eternity. We should be seeing not just comfortable Christians at home, we should be seeing commissioned missionaries in our homes and in our environments. Let's pray together. O merciful God and Heavenly Father, we give you praise that through you we need not worry about a thing. Lord, we look at the world today, and if we thought ourselves to be alone, it's no wonder that people will feel utterly anxious to a point that they'll ask, what is the point of living? What is the reason to live? But God, we give you praise that as we look at you, as we seek after your kingdom and your righteousness, O God, our hearts are placed in your hands, our master and our eternal treasure. And as we see you, O God, we will see light. We give thanks, O God, that when seeing the light of the world, it's not just on how bright or how sharp we see you, but how accurate and how sharp we see the rest of the world. And that gives us hope in knowing that there is more than what we can see. There's more light than is the darkness. And that we see you, our great master, in the heavens for all eternity. Guide us, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that we do not worry. Teach us, O Lord, to depend on you each day. You, O God, who clothe the earth greater than kings of the world. You who provide nourishment to things and species and animals which we would not even have a peripheral vision to see. Let us depend on you as we view of your providence, O God. And ultimately, may we put our trust in you each and every day, that you, Jesus, will be our shepherd, that you, O God, will be our redeemer. You will be our righteousness as we seek and focus on you, our Lord, our God, our Savior, our Redeemer. O God, I pray for those who are lacking, and I ask, O Lord, that this day and even the days ahead, you will be their provider, sufficient enough for them to realize that God, you are the one who is caring and caring and seeking after them. For those who have more than enough of God, we pray that we will give you praise and thanks and ask that God, that you will guide us, that we may be that instrument of your goodness and good news to those who are in need. Open our eyes, O Lord, that we may be generous so that the darkness and the stinginess of our hearts will be cast away. And in doing so, we will see the immense goodness and immense love that you have given to us. God, as we look upon the love of Christ, we ask that we would realize that your love for us is so great, even while we were still sinners, you died for us. Pray for those who have yet to receive you, God. Let them realize this truth of your immense love for them by displaying how you gave your Son so that we may be righteous before your sight. Praise you, Almighty God, as we go forward from here. Be with us that we need not worry, for you, O God, are Emmanuel, God with us. This we say in Jesus' name. Amen.